Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Just a little bit of an extra twinkle in the smile, just a little bit of extra pep in the step. It is actually really here. It is game day. Again, welcome in. I am so freaking excited. We have made it after months and months of waiting and waiting and talking and prognosticating and everything else. It is finally freaking here. Before I get to anything else, thank you for an unbelievable offseason. Thank you so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. Thank you so much for being here on game day. Friends, we made it, and just enjoy the heck out of game day today. I know you guys will. If you're going to the game, enjoy it so much that you're so loud on defense that you better not have a voice tomorrow. I'm just really excited for Packer season, goes without saying, but even more, just this game, I think, has the ability to be really freaking epic. So I am jacked up as you could possibly imagine. And this is just one of those days where we've got a full slate of football in the morning. It's not 7 hours of commercial-free football anymore, but it's still red zone in its best. That first slate of like, what, 8, 9 games, whatever it is, all in its beautiful glory. And then you get Packers-Lions in the second one, and then all of a sudden Ravens-Bills and that third window. It's going to be a great day of football, hopefully with our Green Bay Packers coming up with a huge win as well. We've got so much to get into today. Let's start right away with our Luigi's Pizza player of the game, or player to watch, I should say. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be looking for in this game. I'll be going through a full preview today. The player to watch in this game is pretty simple. It's Jordan Love. It's Jordan Love. All right. This is a huge game. Green Bay really struggled in big games last year. They were, in my opinion, 0-6 in their biggest of games. Maybe you can give them a win for the Texans one in there. That was a pretty big one as well. But great quarterbacks win you big football games. That's what they do. It's part of sort of the job description, right? You've got to go against the best of the best, and you've got to come away with victories. Not easy. That's why they're really tough teams. That's why it's such a challenge. With all the news of Micah Parsons and Matthew Golden and the new free agents and this new team and everything that we are excited to watch in this game, so much of this still comes down to how good is your quarterback, and how good is your quarterback in big games. Detroit's really freaking good. Let's just state the obvious here. They are a really good football team, especially in the regular season. The postseason's been not so great for them. We'll see if they can finally get through that hurdle this year. Hopefully they can't, but they've been a really great regular season football team. Dan Campbell always has them motivated. They want to punch you right in the mouth. And as I talked about yesterday, it is time to be the one that is doing the punching of the mouth first and foremost, that you are the one doing the dictating, that you are not coming out timid or anxious or having fumbles on opening kickoffs. Obviously, that's not something Jordan Love can control, but when he is out there, when he is on offense, and this is a team that has the ability to go down and maybe set the tone right away and score, or get his team back in the game, or a game-winning drive at the end, whatever that job description requires in this particular game, I want to see Jordan Love come up with those key moments in those big moments and key moments, and making sure that he is doing everything he can to get this team to victory. This is a huge season for Jordan. This is a huge game for Jordan. And I really want to see it get started off on the right foot. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think Jordan's in for a huge season. I think the league is about to be put on notice for exactly how good Jordan Love is, but he has to prove that. And it actually takes walking the walk in the games. And this is not a test of Jordan Love in totality, right? Like, we've seen really good Jordan Love. I think we know he's a good starting quarterback. I think there's certain things that I'm not willing to, you know, say like, oh, if he has a bad game here, all of a sudden he's not good, or he can't be great, or anything like that. But as I said, the best quarterbacks step up big in big games. This is a big game. I want to see Jordan Love in all his glory and everything that he is capable of to pick up this win against Detroit and start the season 1-0. As far as our Habish Rotier injury report, I am recording this very early on Saturday morning, so I have not had the update of any additional injuries, if there are any on Saturday. I also do not know if there's any call-ups or anything like that at this point, but same injury report as we talked about on Friday. Elgton Jenkins and Jordan Love are good to go. They were full participants. Zane Anderson, Nate Hobbs, Micah Parsons, Jaden Reed, Baron Sorrell, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams all are questionable. We'll talk about which ones we really need to keep an eye on in just a moment. As far as the Detroit Lions, everybody is good to go, save for Jamarco Jones, Trevor Nowoski, and Sione Vakai. I should mention as well for the Packers, everybody practiced that was questionable. There wasn't anybody that was not practicing. That's usually where you get more. If they didn't practice on like Thursday and Friday and it's questionable, I usually say that might as well be doubtful or probably out. If they practiced the last couple of days and they're questionable, usually there's a much better chance that they play. As we get to the inactives an hour and a half before the game, there's really two people that I'm going to be keeping an eye on to see if they're active or inactive for this game. Those two are Jaden Reed and Nate Hobbs. Unless Micah Parsons suffered a different injury in practice that we just don't know about yet, I don't think this whole back thing is going to hold him out in any way. I do expect him to play somewhere between 35 and 45 snaps in this game. I'd be surprised if it's more. I'd be slightly surprised if it was less, but I do think he'll have a pretty significant role in this game. So I fully expect him to go. But the two to me that I'm watching for are Jaden Reed and Nate Hobbs. For Jaden Reed, he is sort of their gadgety wide receiver, the guy that they have plays schemed up for. You know, I don't know if Savion Williams is going to be active for this game. So that's another player potentially down at wide receiver, or just that maybe isn't quite ready yet. Do they bring up Mecole Hardman to be the punt returner? Does he do some of that gadget stuff? That could be. And then you also have Christian Watson still out. So I think they're going to want Reed to play if there's any way that he can. We know that Reed wants to play. You can tell he's not 100% when you see some of the practice videos, but this is a big decision as to whether or not they want to rest him a little bit more. I'll just put it this way, though. I think he's going to play. The reason I think so is I don't think you have him practice all week. Like, if you're going to rest him. They haven't rested him at all. So if you're going to make him work all through the week, well, might as well play him in the game at that point. It doesn't make any real sense to, you know, practice him all week long and then be like, actually, we're going to rest you during the game. If anything, you should have done the opposite. Rest him all week long and then play him during the game if you're not sure if he's going to be able to, you know, withstand the full rigors of a full week or not. So I do think he's going to play. Nate Hobbs, the other interesting one. If Hobbs does play, I expect it to maybe be on a limited basis, meaning maybe they save him for the slot on obvious passing downs, let Carrington Valentine, Keyshawn Nixon play primarily on the outside, Javon Bullard play in the slot on more rundowns or early downs, and then once it's an obvious passing situation, bring Nate Hobbs in the slot. That's if he is capable of going, but we will definitely keep an eye on that as well. All right, let's get into it. What matters as you're watching this game? What are the things that you really want to keep an eye on? And what are the things that are ultimately going to decide this game in some way, shape, or form? I got 12 things that I'm watching for in this one. Let's start right away with number one, get off to a fast start. We talked about it. They cannot be the team that's all of a sudden down 17-3 to start a game again. Just cannot happen. Like, they have to be ready to play from that opening whistle, from that opening kickoff. No special team snafus. How many times have we seen the crowds all amped up? Green Bay is going to get the ball to receive. They get the ball, holding, 10-yard penalty offense. They're backed up to the 15-yard line. And already it's like, all right, here we go. You know, thank you to whomever got that holding penalty right away on the opening kick return. Those are not the things you can happen. Or you get to the line of scrimmage. Maybe you get a nice kick return out to the 35. Go hard count the first snap and false start on the offense. Those are the things that you just can't have happen. I need to see a scoring drive right away from the offense. I need to see a big stop right away from that Packers defense. Get the season going on the right foot. Get the game going on the right foot. We saw too many of those games where fumble versus Philadelphia, that whatever 28-3 or whatever it was against Minnesota last year. In some big games, they've just no-showed early in the game. This is a big game. They cannot no-show. We've seen it's too difficult to come back. Even that Minnesota game where they were unbelievable through the rest of that game to make that thing close at the end, it still just wasn't enough. You get down in any real way and you have to play catch up. What that does, and most of you know this, I'm not saying anything that's, you know, earth shattering here, but it doesn't just give them the lead. That's a piece of it. The points are a piece of it, but it's also about predictability. In those situations, the Detroit Lions get full breadth of their playbook the rest of the game. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to go play action. There's no panic. There's no urgency. They just get to go through everything that they game planned for all week long. Same thing on defense. You're more predictable. You're likely going to pass more. And even if you don't, even if you run, you're chewing clock and they're just like, oh, go for it. We're happy to let you guys chew that clock. They dictate all the terms at that point. And they have everything that they want, all the things that they game plan for and wanted to set up, they now get to do. And you are in that part of the playbook where you're playing catch up and you've got to make sure that you're getting back into that game. And you just have to play too perfect of a game from there on out. So yes, the points suck that you have to make up at some point, but it's also just a huge advantage to be able to continue everything that you wanted to do and game plan for and be completely unpredictable the rest of the game. Whereas Green Bay in that situation, if you're down, is a little bit, and not a little bit, a lot more predictable on offense, where they're probably throwing to get back in that game. And on defense, you're just in no man's land because you can't ever quite get a feel if they're going to run or pass. And it's just the whole playbook is open for Detroit in that situation. So number one, get off to a fast start. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in week one. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Number two, this is the one to look at. Is you're watching this game early. I know we all want to watch Micah Parsons and Jordan Love and Matthew Golden and some of the stars from Detroit. How does Aiden Hutchinson look? Those are all things important. We're going to talk about a few of those here in just a moment. I really truly believe that one of the key matchups in this game and one of the things to watch early on is the interior of the Lions offensive line versus the interior of the Packers defensive line. These are two completely made over units. Both of them, you would argue, in a negative way. For Green Bay, they traded out Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton for Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse. That is a 330-pound veteran in TJ Slayton for a 330-pound undrafted free agent in Nasir Stackhouse. That is one of the best defensive players the Packers have had over the past decade for a sixth-round rookie from Georgia. That's the trade. Devontae Wyatt's the same. Colby Wooden's the same. Carl Brooks is the same. And now you've traded out Kenny Clark and TJ Slayton for two rookies. And it's not like a first and a second-round pick. It's a sixth-rounder and an undrafted free agent. That would be a downgrade to most. For the Detroit Lions, they went from two of the best offensive linemen, one of the best centers in football in Frank Ragnow, one of the best guards in football in Kevin Zeitler, and now go with journeyman Graham Glasgow and at right guard, rookie Tate Ratledge. He's a second round pick, but he's still a rookie. Also from Georgia. We got some Georgia and Georgia rookie crime here with Tate Ratledge versus Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse. But I digress. It is, and then of course they have Christian Mahogany, a sixth round pick from a year ago at left guard who doesn't have much experience either. This is a offensive line for Detroit on the interior that you would say is a big downgrade from where they were this previous season. And for Green Bay, it's arguably their only downgrade at any position on the interior of the defensive line. So how do those two match up and who gets the advantage of that? Maybe it's just a stalemate, which then of course it comes down to everything else. But if Detroit wins that, if Ratledge and Glasgow and Mahogany are just completely dominating the interior of the Packers defensive line, that's going to be a problem. Hello, Jahmyr Gibbs. Hello, David Montgomery. Those two are probably going to have a field day running up the middle, and you're not going to get that pressure that you need up the middle on Jared Goff, which is going to create more opportunities for him. On the flip side, if Green Bay's interior defensive line is dominating those three and they're getting pressure up the middle. They're not being able to get any sort of run game going with Gibbs and Montgomery because the defensive tackles are stout in the run defense. That is a huge advantage for Green Bay. That's what's going to get you in some of those third and longs and let Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, and Jeff Hafley, quite frankly, cook and be able to bring all the exotic pressures that he wants to bring. It's a huge matchup, and it doesn't feel like it because the sexiest player on Detroit, and that is what, like Tate Ratledge, a second round rookie. And for Green Bay, it's Devontae Wyatt, a first round defensive tackle, but in his fourth year, where you kind of know what to expect at this point. It's not a star on star battle. This is not Frank Ragnow versus Kenny Clark, which is one of my favorite battles in Detroit Packers, you know, last decade. That's been a really fun matchup. You don't have that, but it still is going to be a real deciding factor in this game, and certainly something that my eyes are going to early and often when Detroit is on offense. Number three is the Lions pass rush. This, to me, going into this game, on paper, as I look at it, it's a one-man wrecking crew. It is Aiden Hutchinson. I'm interested to see what their first-round pick, Tyreek Williams, can do. I really liked him coming out, but we sort of know, too, that he's more of a run stuffer than he is a pass rusher. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he looks great as a pass rusher. That would certainly change things for Detroit. You know, DJ Reader, not known for his pass rush ability. And then Marcus Davenport was drafted as a pass rusher. Guy has not been able to stay healthy. When he has been healthy, he's never quite lived up to expectations. Al-Qadeen Muhammad, you've got a guy that claimed off of waivers from Dallas who, by the way, needs their defensive ends. If they cut him, you know, it's probably not a great sign. So to me, if it's just Hutchinson, you can live. It's not great because he's that good, but you can live with that. If it's Hutchinson and Davenport, or Hutchinson and Tyreek Williams, or Hutchinson and somebody or multiple other players, it becomes a much more difficult, issue to try to stop their pass rush in with any sort of consistency. But if it's just Hutchinson, or let me add on top of this, Hutchinson coming back from injury doesn't quite look like Hutchinson, then that's another huge advantage for Green Bay. So some of those third down situations, have to have it. What does that pass rush look like? Is the Packers offensive line able to hold up? We're going to get our first look at Elgton Jenkins at center full time. We're going to get our first look at Aaron Banks at left guard. Is there a rotation at left tackle? Zach Tom, for as great as he is, has struggled with Aiden Hutchinson in the past. Another key matchup to keep an eye on. So I want to see what that Detroit pass rush looks like, if it's really causing problems or if Green Bay has it completely under control. Number four. All right, let's just get to the fun one, right? It's Micah Parsons. This is going to be a fun one to watch. What type of impact can he have? And can he get after Jared Goff? There are very few quarterbacks that are as Jekyll and Hyde or as Superman to Clark Kent as Jared Goff when it comes to playing under pressure. Now, I will say, and I will admit, for any Lions fans that might want to try to call me out on this, Jared Goff has been much better against pressure. And I'll just say it too. I think Jared Goff is one of the single most underrated players in the entire NFL. I don't think he gets anywhere near the credit that he deserves because he struggled a little bit early on in his career and didn't look like that first round pick and didn't look like a top tier quarterback. I think he is fantastic. I think he's a great quarterback. Again, I don't think he gets his flowers. He probably needs to win a Super Bowl. He's already brought a team to a Super Bowl. That's not nothing. I know that it was sort of as the, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a game manager or whatever with the Rams, but he was in a good situation. But ever since moving to Detroit, he's been phenomenal. But now, how does he look, you know, with no Ben Johnson? But more specifically here, again, what can Micah Parsons do to get him off his game? And if you do get some pressure on him, you can see a few more mistakes. Maybe you can get a sack, fumble, whatever it might be. But this is why you bring Micah Parsons in. We kind of talked about at the onset, Jordan Love needing to be that guy on offense. You need that dude. You need the guy that's going to win you games on offense. You need that dude on defense too. You bring in Micah Parsons to be that dude. Can he wreck shop, get after Jared Goff enough, also be good against the run, and make it so that it's a long day. It's a lot of Penei Sewell that he's going to be going against. If not, you know, they still have a great offensive tackle duo, you know, in totality. It's not going to be easy for him, especially not having a full training camp and things like that. But you got to find a way to get him activated in this game and having Micah Parsons make that big impact. But and just on top of that, too, if he gets that sack, if he makes that big play, Lambeau's going to go absolutely berserk. So that's another way to get that crowd very involved in the game. Number five, another fun one, Matthew Golden. What can he bring to this offense? Without Christian Watson, you're going to need that speed element in this wide receiver core. The talk from everyone, whether it's been the people that have been there at practice like myself and covering the team, whether it's been the players or whether it's been the coaching staff, everyone is excited to see what he can do out on this field. He is an absolute stud. He looks the part. I think he's going to make a big impact from day one, but you still have to go out there and do it. There are some interesting aspects of his game. He's a little bit on the smaller side. When I've seen him get jammed at times, he can get held up a little bit at the line of scrimmage and not get into his route as easily. This is going to be a Detroit Lions team who's going to be physical with him, and he's going to have to respond to that. But I still think he's going to be in for an impact role in this game. And when he does get the ball in his hands, there's just a different speed, and he can make some people miss after the catch. I'm so excited to see what he can bring to this offense, and we're going to get our first real taste of it against Detroit. Number six, third down in distance and conversion rate. The conversion rate's ultimately the most important, but how are teams living on third down? If either of these teams are living in third and short, third and three, third and two, third and one, it's a big advantage. And clearly, if they're living in third and long, third and eight, nine, 10 plus, both of these defenses are going to be able to get after the quarterback, and both of these defenses are going to make it very difficult for you to pick up those first downs. So I want to see these first two downs, how you're able to get into third and shorts if you're the Packers offense, or get Detroit into third and longs if you're the Packers defense, because the distance of those very difficult third downs is going to be a big determining factor in your conversion rate. And then ultimately the conversion rate's what matters most. If you're converting those third downs, able to continue the drives just gives you way more opportunities to get in the red zone and ultimately put up points. And if you are living again in those third and longs and having a poor conversion rate, you're just giving the ball back to the other team. So when you see those third downs come up, keep an eye on, you know, is it third and four, or is it third and 14, or is it something in between third and short, et cetera. That's going to play a huge factor in this game and just who's set up better for success. And then number seven's a direct correlation to that, fourth down aggression. We know Detroit's going to be aggressive on fourth down. I talked about it with Aaron Nagler. I've talked about it all week. I don't want to see Green Bay celebrating on third down when they've stopped them to a fourth and two or less. Guess what? Detroit's going for it. It might be fourth and 10. They might be going for it. I don't need you to celebrate that you held them on third down. You've got another down to defend still, especially when you're playing the Detroit Lions. I don't know if they're going to come out with as much aggression as they did last year, where they're just like, we're going for it on fourth down every time. Get ready, buckle up. And they basically converted all but one, not basically, they converted all but one. Or if they're just going to play a little bit more standard game and punt it away on fourth and three or above. But you can bet there's going to still be some level of aggression from Dan Campbell and company. Get ready to defend on fourth downs as well. And for Matt LaFleur, I need to see a little bit more aggressiveness on your side of things. I want to see some of those fourth down opportunities not only gone for, but converted as well. Those are big time plays to keep that drive alive and to not give the other team the ball in plus position. So yeah, fourth down aggression and fourth down conversion rate, another one that's going to play a huge factor in this game. We'll be right back. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA certified tender steaks that are melt in your mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off of promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself.
but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your Z-Biotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY.
Number eight is just Amon-Ra St. Brown. How do you go about stopping a weapon that pretty much gets, you know, 8 to 9 catches almost every single week? Javon Bullard might be in the slot. That gives me a little bit of nervousness. Now, they're going to play a ton of zone defense. We know that, but Amon-Ra St. Brown is good against man. He's good against zone, and you better have a great plan of attack to take him out of the game. Jared Goff is going to look to him early, often, big situations. He's the go-to guy. Now, we'll see what Tesla can bring to their offense. We'll see where Jameson Williams is at. He's a big-time deep threat down the field. We know Laporta is going to have a huge role. We know Gibbs is going to have a huge role, Montgomery, et cetera. They're not exactly, empty when it comes to weapons. They've got a plethora of different players that they can go to in key situations. But the guy on the top of that list is Amon-Ra St. Brown, another player who I still don't think quite gets the credit that he deserves as one of the best wide receivers in the league. He's always open. Just feels like he's always open, and Green Bay's going to have a plan to counterattack that. Number nine, who's dropping safeties? Is it the Packers or is it the Lions? Maybe it's both. Let me say that even better. Who's dropping safeties into the box? I should clarify that. Both of these teams are going to want to try to make it so that they can keep their two safeties high and stop the run without having to drop their safeties into the box. The Packers are going to try to say, you're in two high safeties. We're going to take advantage of that by running Josh Jacobs and having a ton of success with it. And for Green Bay, if they're playing in two high safeties, Detroit's going to try to say, we're going to run the ball with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and we're going to make you drop that safety into the box. And once that safety does drop into the box, then which teams can take advantage of it? Can Green Bay get Matthew Golden or one of their deep ball wide receivers open down the field and take advantage of that single high safety? And on the flip side, if Xavier McKinney or Evan Williams are dropping in the box, can Jameson Williams, Tesla, one of these wide receivers on the outside, take advantage of Green Bay's corners? So job number one for both these teams is getting them to drop that safety in the box. And then job number two is, once that's done, can you take advantage of it with a deep shot down the field? Keep an eye on those safeties. That brings us right to our next one. Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams versus Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph. Now, it's a ridiculous thing to say because they don't actually go against each other, but this is two of the best safety tandems in all of football. I think arguably the top two. There's certainly some ones in the conversation, that's for sure, but Detroit safeties have been a huge pain in the Packers side. They continue to make massive plays. Brian Branch is an absolute stud. Kirby Joseph has been a Packers killer. You got to be careful for those two. Where are they at? We've seen pick sixes against Green Bay recently in Lambeau Field. Those are the plays that you cannot allow them to make. You've got to make sure that you're protecting up front so that Jordan has the entire time to scan the field and make sure that he's not putting the ball in harm's way, especially with those two safeties lurking. And it goes the same way the other way. If Micah Parsons and company can get the pressure upfield, it's going to be a potential field day for Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney, as they might be able to jump a few more passes as Jared Goff doesn't get to survey the field. But these are two of the best safety duos, and the duo that plays better in this game could ultimately be a deciding factor. Next up is explosive plays. You got to be able to have them both on offense and on defense. Turnovers on defense and on offense, you've got to get some of those big 40-yard chunk plays to set you up for success. We know it's a ridiculously hard task to grind out 70-yard drives. Those 12-play 70-yard touchdown drives are just really difficult. Defenses are really good. They make you work for it. Every blade of grass really, really matters. And that's why it's just that, like, you have to get what on a drive like that, like 4 or 5 first downs maybe, and then convert in the red zone. Defenses are so freaking talented nowadays and are so well versed in how to keep you out of the end zone that it really takes an explosive play along the way more often than not to make your life so much easier and to ultimately put points on the board. So which team can get more of those explosive plays, again, both on offense and defense, that's the team that is probably going to be the one that is winning this football game, or at least in a much better position to do so. And then last but not least, home field advantage. Can Green Bay take advantage of it? Can they really have that loud crowd? This is up to the fans. Can they be super aggressive and loud on defense? Stay quiet on offense, but it's time to get that Lambeau mystique back. I want people scared crapless that when they come to Green Bay, they don't know what to do, that the crowd noise is going to be too loud, the atmosphere is going to be too hard to overcome. I want Lambeau to feel that way again, where it's just like nobody's coming into Lambeau and winning football games. I want to see that home field advantage restored, and it starts today against the Detroit Lions. Those are my 12. Fast start, interior of the defensive line for the Packers versus the interior offensive line for the Lions. The Lions pass rush, Micah Parsons, and can he get pressure on Jared Goff and just the impact that he can make? What can Matthew Golden bring to this offense? Third down distance and conversion percentage, fourth down aggressiveness, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's dropping safeties, the safety matchup in general, the explosive plays, and the home field advantage. My prediction, as I'm recording this, Packers are 1.5 point favorites. I'm going Packers by 2. It's going to be 24-16 Packers going into the final drive. Detroit's ball. Green Bay's got to get them off the field. Detroit's going to drive down all the way down the field, score a touchdown. Laporta's going to get a touchdown with under 30 seconds left. 2-point conversion needed for the tie. They're going to fail the 2-point conversion. Green Bay's going to recover the onside kick, and Green Bay ultimately wins the game by 2, 24-22. I'll be live for a live pregame show prior to the game. I'll be live for a live postgame show following the game. Make sure to check those out both over on YouTube. I am so excited for today. I know you are as well. Enjoy the hell out of it. Let's get a Packers victory so we can celebrate with a Luigi's Victory Pizza. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John Dimitropoulos, Hayden Radamski, Devin Lane, Ganzusa, Alexander Newell, and Dan Miller. I'll see you guys tomorrow for Victory Monday. Actually, I'll see you after the post-game show and hopefully for the pregame show as well. But I'll see you for tomorrow for Victory Monday as well. But until next time, and as always, and especially on game day, go Pack, go.